When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com. We are the official barroom chat for everything Toronto Blue Jays baseball, from game highlights to rumors and all the stuff in between. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-host Jason Lyons and Liz McGuire. Now let's talk some Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to an evening with Jay Bird Watching. I am your host, Craig Borden, here with the normal gang of suspects, Jason Lyons, Liz McGuire. How the hell are you?
I'm excellent.
Just doing excellent. Very well. Deep already into hockey tryouts. My regular life is work, and then every second is spent doing something for the kids. But otherwise, excited about the Vancouver Canadiens season coming to a close here and getting some playoff tickets and, you know, charging towards another Northwest Championship, hopefully, and the sun shining. So very little to complain about right now.
Yeah, and I got to hang out with Liz and have too many beers, probably wandering around the whole city of Toronto over the weekend. So we're going to get to that. But Jason, you kind of let us, I think, where you had planned, I think, already. Jason, you had the pleasure of interviewing what Vancouver Canadian today?
Nick Goodwin. So it was a very interesting story. I went to the Canadiens game the other night. And as some of you know, I am the Canadian representative for Birdman Bats. And Nick happens to swing a Birdman bat. I was about as close as I am to this cup to Nick. And we started talking a little bit. He asked if he could have the toque I had on that was a Birdman toque. I gave it to him. And then we started talking about him coming on the show. And I think he thought I was a drunk, crazy person until I sent him the links and the information about the show. So I sat down with Nick. Couldn't be a nicer kid. Very high on the Jays prospect list coming through. Just a top drawer guy. Did a great interview with him today. And if you haven't seen it, I think we're going to roll it, aren't we?
We're going to roll it here in just a bit, because I got to give some people some little bit of background, because he was drafted last year. And in the midst of that whole thing, he has risen himself up to being, I think I saw he is currently our number 40th top prospect.
Yep.
But he's having a decent season with RBIs. He's going to get some other pieces of his game going. But the funny thing is, Jason, you found out during the interview he was actually a champion with them last year, as he came up just in time for him to hit, I won't spoil it, but a key home run during that interview that you'll hear about. But
so he won a Northwest Championship last year with the C's, and they're in a hunt right now against Spokane. Spokane's a good team, and they're a game back of Spokane. But because of the division and the way that it works, I think the top four teams from the group make it into the playoffs, and then they have a couple of two game playoffs, and then a five gamer or something to finish it. And it's short and sweet, but it's a lot of fun baseball, and they know how much is on the line. So way more exciting than a seven game or anything stretched out. Like, these guys know it's you got to win now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
I don't remember if they're tied for first place right now, but either way, they're on the road and they need a win. They need a W.
Playing Hillsborough today.
That's where it was. But Liz, how cool would it be if we were going to see another Blue Jays young, talented team in Vancouver win back-to-back? That's awesome, isn't it?
That's just the best. And it's like, it's such a good probably feeling for these young guys as well, even for the team, especially since. And it's like, gives us something to root for because we're not going pretty far this year, but we can report for root for our young guys.
Oh, which come on. We're only 8 games and have a wild card spot.
I don't know. I don't see it, but I'm pumped for I'm pumped for our C's. How are our Bisons doing?
The Bisons were a first half, I think, winner or damn near close to it, but they were doing pretty good until we looted the team out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. That's what I figured.
But some of the guys at Class A and some of those guys that have come up to the team have been very beneficial. But to that point, we can get into talking some Bisons if we want to talk some Bisons. But I think I would be doing our fans a disservice if I was not giving them a chance to see the interview here with Nick Gorin or Nick Goodwin. So I am going to roll that footage right now.
Roll the tape, Jimmy.
Very cool.
Hey, Blue Jays fans, welcome to another episode of Jaybird Watching. And although we can't be there in the flesh, when we do get a good interview, we do like to take advantage of it. So today on the show, Blue Jays prospect infielder, top infielder, Nick Goodwin. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm good. I can't complain. So we're in Hillsboro right now, about ready to play our third game of the series. So happy to join a call with you guys.
So this is a super important series for the people that don't know. You guys are, what, one game back right now of Spokane?
Yes, I believe we're either one game back or we're tied with them right now. So I think we came in up 7 games on Hillsboro. So I think we just got to split the series with them this week to clinch. So, yeah, this is a big, big week for us.
100%. And so were you with the C's last year when they did win the Northwest?
I was up here for the last week and a half-ish. So I was drafted last year, so I came up for the last week in the regular season, and then I was here for the playoffs as well. So I got a little taste of that environment, and it was a lot of fun. So definitely something that I'm looking forward to, hopefully this year too. So
yeah. How are you liking Vancouver so far as a city?
I love it. So compared to a lot of the cities that a lot of minor league teams are in, I mean, it doesn't really get much better than this. It's a big league city. So it's been a lot of fun to spend the summer up here.
Cool. So Nick, let's talk a little bit about your past and your playing days, just for some of the people who don't know. And when they're excited to get a Nick Goodwin card, when you get moved up to the Jays, they'll know all of your stuff and your stats. Mm-hmm. This is for the kids out there. So you're born in Kansas City, correct?
Yes,
and
sir.
From what I can understand, baseball in the blood, huh? Your dad was in the Royals organization, and mm-hmm. Your uncle was with the Orioles, correct?
Yep. Yes, sir.
That's super awesome. Did you play Little League when you were a kid?
I did, yeah. I started playing baseball at a very young age. My dad coached me all the way up until high school, and then my uncle kind of took over, coached my team for a couple years. My dad just kind of taught me to play the game the right way, and he got me into the sport, and obviously I've been playing it ever since. So
and you're a Kansas State Wildcat alumni, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Had some good years down there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I like to say those were the best 3 years of my life. So made a lot of really good friends that I'll have for the rest of my life, and it was just playing, like the environment playing in like a big conference and stuff like that. It was awesome. So yeah.
What advice could you give? I coach a 13-year-old AAA team. There are a lot of kids who do listen to the cast, and they are going to hear this today. What advice mm-hmm. would you give them on the in-between, sort of that 13, 15, 17 pushing up into looking at a JUCO or moving mm-hmm. on?
Yeah, well, first off, I'll say there's nothing wrong with going the JUCO route. So I know a ton of guys that ended up going the JUCO route, and then after a year or two, they transfer to a D1 or like Power 5 or something like that, and they end up getting drafted. And, I mean, there's a lot of big leaguers that come out of JUCO schools. So, yeah, and when I was that age, I was kind of flying under the radar a little bit. I wasn't getting a ton of offers like some other kids are, but I was a little undersized. So I spent most of my time in the weight room just trying to gain weight. And so my senior year was COVID summer. So I didn't play baseball that summer. I was in the weight room forever. Ended up putting on like 20 pounds. So, and that allowed me to go compete with guys that were 3-4 years older than me at K-State. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I got a question here that was submitted to me by my son, Jet, before we did this. And he wants to know what your perfect pregame meal is.
Ooh. I got to go with Chipotle. You can't go wrong with Chipotle. So I could eat that. I could eat it for lunch and dinner every day. So
that's awesome. So Chipotle, kids. And thanks to our sponsor, Chipotle. So what were your thoughts when the Jays did pick you?
Yeah, well, it was a dream come true. So playing baseball professionally has been my dream since I started playing the game. So to see my name get called was definitely like a sigh of relief, but also, you know, I was just excited to get my pro career started. So yeah, it was a dream come true.
Do you know anything about Toronto as a city?
Beforehand, I did not, other than the Blue Jays were here. So yeah.
That's pretty awesome. What's your favorite memory so far of your pro career to this point?
I would say winning the championship last year. So I hit a home run in game 4, I believe. So game that we won the championship. So that was probably the coolest moment that I've had. So
that's super awesome. So for guys like you, Nick, the career path is always interesting, especially would you say that your top position is shortstop? Were you a shortstop coming up?
Yes, I would say shortstop.
Now, with the Jays being so loaded, you know, in the middle infield, and that being sort of like, it's almost like an issue that we talk about on the podcast weekly is, you know, they've got buckets of middle infielders. They don't have like a guy like Addison Bargiou, who has to make a fairly significant change and move to the outfield or move to a position he's not so comfortable with. What are your thoughts on, you know, yourself moving forwards? You know, are you hoping to stay on the infield, or are you open to just sort of playing wherever to make sure the dream remains something that's alive?
Yeah, well, I think versatility is a huge aspect of the game. I think everyone needs to learn how to play multiple positions. So I think the more positions you can play, the better off you'll be and the more opportunities you'll get down the road. So, right now I've played mostly short and third, but I also think that I can play second. And I mean, if it comes down to it in the future and I have to move to the outfield, and I mean, if that's the only way my name's going to be in the lineup, then yeah, I'd be open to that as well. So
love that. That's my favorite answer. I've done a couple of these. That's my favorite answer so far. So, you know, I don't want to take up your whole afternoon. I know you got prep and I know you got a big game tonight, and you know, I'm going to see you next week. I'm going to be at a couple of the games next week. I've mooched some off my season ticket holder buddies. But you know, just can you tell me, closing down the season here? I mean, you guys have that series, one more series, and then it's playoffs, right?
Yep, that's right.
So how do you think you guys are set to go into the Northwest playoffs this year?
I think we're set up pretty well. Spokane's, obviously, they won the first half, and they've been a tough team all year. We've struggled playing against them all year. But recently we just we beat them in a 6-game series, 4-2. So just proves that we're able to compete with those guys. So, and I think we got a really good lineup now. We got some pitchers that are up here that have been throwing the ball really well. Some guys up here that are starting to get hot with the bat. So I think, we're definitely set up pretty well.
Cool. What's one of the other questions I got from a friend of mine who played a little pro ball? He asked me, what do you think the big difference between the crowd at Nat Bailey is and the crowd that you know, if you're playing in Hillsborough, you're playing in Everett? Like, is it a significant difference?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot louder for sure. So I think the way the stadium's set up and then the trees out in right field, the crowd just echoes. So it makes it like it makes 6,000 people sound like 10,000 people or something like that. So it's a loud stadium for sure. And it's a lot of fun to play in front of.
So. That's awesome, man. And you get idiots like me that are right in front of the screen. You can make stuff like this. Well, you know what, Nick, I think that's probably it. I think that if there's, if you got anything, you know, anything that you want to say to, I mean, you're going to have a fair amount of people watching this today, and we're excited to have you part of the part of the team now, and we'd love to be able to keep up with you, you know, as your career progresses. And just as an aside, as someone who was just sitting in the crowd and happened to be able to talk to a nice guy from Kansas City, thanks so much for taking the time to give me the time and give these kids and the people that do watch the podcast some insight into, to, you know, what makes Nick Goodwin tick. And, you know, when they do come next week, because I think you're going to have some pretty full crowds next week, knowing it's the last nice weekend and the last playoff push, you know, get your Nick Goodwin jerseys, get them all ready to go, get out there, and let's watch this kid smash the ball around. It's fun. You almost put one out the other night. That was clipped. That was I thought it was going.
A little bit.
All right, man. Well, take it easy. Good luck tonight. You know, go kick some ass, because we want another Northwest Championship. I want to be able to be there.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nick. Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate you guys having me.
Take it easy, buddy.
Yep. Thank you guys.
Bye. Oh, Craig's muted. So maybe I'm the only one that everybody can hear at this point.
Yeah. No, I thought I was unmuted. It was my fault. Okay. Not sure what happened there. I'm going to try getting it back up and running. But Blue Jays fans, if you haven't seen the full interview, I guess we're going to get your tease here on the Jaybird Watching podcast right now. But we do have it live on all our social media at this point. You can catch the rest of Jason's wonderful interview with Nick Goodwin. I keep wanting to say Nick Gordon because he played here in Rochester for so long. But I'm going to try hitting the I'm not sure what's going on as far as the play button goes, but I'm going to try one more time.
It's okay. We can.
It's frozen.
I'm sure people want it. Yeah, if people want to see it, dig into our socials. It's around. It was a great interview. Great to talk to him. Lots of great stuff. You know, good dude. And we're hoping to get some more Canadians as the season comes to a close. I'm going to go to a few more games before the season's over and see if I can't, you know, get us some more information on what's going on at the Nat.
Exactly. Especially when it is one of the hottest tickets in town, probably right now, as far as things go.
Yeah, well, and look, if you look at the attendance, it's funny. Later on in the interview, if you guys keep watching, we did mention, you know, about Nat Bailey and you know, he was saying, and if you've never been to Nat Bailey, it's a really neat stadium that's kind of tucked in a cool part of Vancouver. It's a kind of an artsy fartsy part of Vancouver, but the way that the stadium faces is one of the home run walls has a giant park behind it. And so it's just forest. And so when the crowd erupts, the sound goes out, immediately hits the trees and then comes back. And he's like, 6,000 people sound like 10 like that.
That's amazing.
It's pretty cool. That's how it should be. And you know, I was just at a game on the weekend. I went on Saturday night with some of my buddies and it was nice and loud. The C's won it in extra innings. And I agree with them, you know, like it was loud and the people are engaged, and I got to give it to Vancouver fans, because I go to Canucks games and fans are not engaged. I go to C's games and it seems like, you know, the 6,000 people or so that are there are stoked to be there. They know what they're talking about baseball wise. And, you know, they're there to watch a good team play.
That's some freaking fun, especially the team that's winning right now.
3-foot hot dog, baby.
Oh, that slaps.
There you go. That does 100% slap. But I might say that big of a hot dog is better than a Looney hot dog, I would just say. But there is some.
Wash your mouth out.
You're there on Looney hot dogs, all right. So just saying.
Jason, how much is beer?
It's not bad. It's about average. I think a can of beer is about $8 or $7. And
I pay $15.
It's all craft beer too, so it's all local. It's all local breweries here in Vancouver that they don't carry any of the big guys. There's no Molson or Coors or anything in the building. It's all craft stuff, and it's all good craft stuff. You can get some of the white chocolate chip pepperoni, you know, stouts, and that really, I just want my beer to taste like beer. So I appreciate the fact that they have 3 or 4 beers that do, you know, taste a lot like beer. And then they also have Sapporo in a giant can, which is really tough to say no to.
There you go. Like
when it's ice cold, I don't know if there's a better beer. I mean, it's a rice beer, so less sugar, less of a hangover. Delicious. There's my Sapporo commercial right there.
Easy crushing beer.
There you go.
Crushing.
All right, let's go. Ta-da.
So, and that thing is like the size of your head, those big cans for those Sapporo ones.
They're awesome.
They're beefy. So, good stuff. So, Now that we've gotten your tour through the minor leagues, there has been a little bit of crazy going on in Blue Jays baseball, including a game that Liz and I happen to be at. But I guess I got to tell a story beforehand, because there was a little bit wild before the game while we were trying to be nice and hand out, you know, baseball cards and some other stuff for our podcast to Blue Jays fans just walking around the ballpark and everything as we were going in.
We were handing these guys out, and also giving away baseball cards to children. Just giving away baseball cards to children. And then, Craig, what happened next?
Well, as we're recording episode 423 this evening, just to say, for the sake of having the freebies giving out, we're not just giving out freebies for no reason. A security gentleman walked over to me and very politely yelled at me and said, "What am I selling?" And the nice way of saying it was
the gospel.
I didn't really back down too much. And I said, ironically, I'm not selling anything. I am giving out baseball cards. Well, you can't do that here was the wonderful word that I got out of that. So in the midst of that, I thought that was the end of it. I went over with Liz. We bought some mystery baseballs. We both pulled Josh Donaldson for the win. Still got it right now.
I also have Randall Grichuk ball here too. Total babe.
There you go.
Long may he be.
Total Randolph. So thought it was over with. No big deal. Nothing. Get the rest of the gang together. And we go into the ballpark. I swipe everybody's tickets because I had Scott Belford and Taylor's stuff from the walk-off podcast on my phone. I was nice enough to buy tickets for my friends. Liz was already apparently all paid up, and we had way too many tickets already on hand. So in the midst of this, that same security gentleman wants to confiscate my bag, because apparently I'm going to do the same stupid thing I did outside the ballpark. In the ballpark, you know, there's that whole difference between public property and private property. I'm not that stupid. And so, needless to say, my stuff gets taken, including my Josh Donaldson ball that was in my bag, because I'm like, just fine. I don't care anymore. I just want to be done with this and go watch a ball game. And I'm just thankful at the end of the game, they actually gave it back to me, because I was not expecting to get it back. So
the Toronto Blue Jays,
go ahead, Liz.
They don't like fun. Like Rogers doesn't like fun. They're not the funnest.
They don't like free fun, and they don't like anybody else making money but them.
That's their whole jam.
He wasn't making any money. Otherwise, I would see the argument.
We were selling the gospel of the Jaybird watching podcast and baseball cards to children.
Church of baseball.
And then, Church you know baseball. What? The ghost of Ted Rogers and the spirit of Ed Rogers smote us down. I don't know if smite. That's what happened.
Smited us and smoted.
Smoted us. But you know what? They freed Craig. We freed Craig.
Yeah. Freed Craig. So, anyway, now, Liz, you get to tell the part of what actually transpired during the game, because that was actually the second time I've been at a game like this. But come on, I gotta get the perspective as far as what happened today out of you.
I'm gonna be honest with you. It's all obliterated from my brain, what with my brain injury and how drunk that I was. But it was a really fun game. It was an excellent game of there was home runs.
There was a Vladdy bomb. There was all sorts of unfortunate things, that a home run that ruined the other thing.
Yeah. So I will leave it up to you, given how, because I will just preface this later. On Friday night, I was in the Schneider's like premium seats, and I ate everything. I ate the shrimp. I ate all of the things. And I also drank all the things, which brought us the next day. Whereas I
drinking more, things because I was in town.
There we go. Carry on. So Craig, I will let you take it because I drank too much.
Can't remember it. So from what I recall, you had a good time.
Yeah, that is good.
I've had that happen to me before too. When people told me I had a great time.
I had a great time. The thing is though, the Friday night game, even the Jays were like really, as I would say, baseballing. You know, there was a walk-off dinger, I think, on Friday night. I think it might have been Barger on Friday. And
it was back-to-back dingers.
Yeah, it was so fun. It was like one of those rare games that felt like 2021, when like, I remember like the Vladdy, this is my house, like whole thing. It felt like the game had momentum and it was joyous. So it was a really good weekend of baseball to watch. I don't think Sunday. I think we lost. Did we lose on Sunday? I don't remember. Again, but it was really joyous. No, we swept. It was a joyous series. It was a joyous couple games of baseball to watch. It almost, I noticed it lulled the fan base into a false sense of momentum, which I knew that it would. It's like they were shocked.
Like I said, wild card, here we come, right?
I think that
happened with all of the three games. And like, I don't know if you guys saw like the Toronto Star and there's all kinds of stories about we're only 8 games back. It's like, no, it's more like 400 at this point.
There's a month of baseball left.
Just
be cool.
So I was just watching the game's on right now. They're still in Boston, and they did the announcing who was playing the game, and it was just like Buffalo. And I was like, that's our season.
Yeah, these unrecognizable.
Let's go Buffalo.
Just
finally wearing a Bills shirt today. Yeah, football season.
Unrecognizable, but lovely baseball boys. Like lovely baseball boys. Totally unrecognizable. And all I could think of when I saw who was playing today's game, they had pictures and everything, was this is so bad. And because we were winning for a bit there, I think people forgot how bad it is. And I hope that this, like, we can't compete against the Phillies.
Wait, no. What?
No.
We're not a real baseball team.
On that note, I don't know if you've looked at the box score at the moment, but Bowden Francis is still continuing a streak that he started during that game against us on Saturday.
Yeah, that was an almost no-hitter. It was an almost no-hitter until I think the eighth or ninth when they took him out.
Ninth inning.
He was really, putting on a great show. I'm so proud of him.
I find this interesting. So I was watching it at home, and I didn't know what was happening. I turned it on, and I was kind of not paying attention. We were getting dinner ready and farting around, and one of my kids said, "Dad, they don't have a hit." And I was like, "They don't have a hit." And I looked, and it was the seventh inning, and I'm like, "Oh." And you don't say it, right? My kids are smart enough to say not say it. Yep. And so we're sitting there watching it, and, you know, I was listening to the commentators talk about the possibility of them taking Francis out. And I'm like, you guys wouldn't have had the benefit of this because you guys were at the game, but they were really, you know, he was over 100 pitches and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, are you joking? Yeah. Like this season is a tire fire and you're worried about Bowden Francis throwing, you know, 135. Like, come on. Like, There were games in the, you know, not that long ago when pitchers would throw well into the 130s, 140s, and nobody cared about their arm. So, I mean, the fact that and then the jackweed that hits the home run, you know, has the nerve to say something about it not being a very good outing. Yeah. I hope that guy likes baseballs in the
Taylor
ear.
Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taylor Ward.
Bassett chirping him. Which was excellent. Like that.
Oh, that was the best. The little picture in the background.
Yeah. Like, what's the point of that? Like,
don't know. I think it's a false bravado. It's a guy who's on a worse team than we are, and he's just trying to take any kind of smoke he can. And I mean, those are the guys that don't last. Those are the guys that you know, they have a cup of coffee where they are, and they're obviously, you know, like anybody in the dugout, if he said that out loud, they'd be like, shut up. Like, you know, just know your role and shut your hole. Let's go the rock on him. But
I'm trying to find the actual sign right now.
It was interesting to me to hear all of that. You know, so as a person watching at home, you know, I thought it was three. I mean, the Angels suck, but how good was it to see Pillar taking BP and Ryan Gohan's Team Canada
jersey?
Canada Day jersey.
So good. I also, that was great. I was sitting in the outfield and people were just screaming the best insults at Pillar, which I don't know. I thought was great.
Hittable and not special.
Yeah.
That might be the best Chris Bassett joke I've seen.
What about the joke, Chris Bassett joke yesterday, where he throws a classic Chris Bassett and the Jays can't put one stinking run up?
Can't do it. And he called it. Chris Bassett told us why that was happening. You need a couple stars. You need a couple. So it's like, he knows. He knows why it's happening. We all 100% know why it's happening. Guys don't want to be here if we lose. Like, how are we going to get other and better pitching if this is how they handle it? How they treated Barrios? Like, how, I don't know. I just feel like players see our team as like, don't want to go there. And also even the Matt Chapman's like saying like, I didn't really like it there. or he said it more nuanced than that, but
I find it interesting. So I was, you know, I'm on the, obviously on the West Coast, so we get a lot of Dodgers games. So I was watching Dodgers Orioles last night, which, you know, arguably two of the best teams in the league. And the Dodgers make the Orioles look like little kids.
It's amazing, eh?
Yeah. It's like watching a cat play with a ball of yarn until it wants to tear it apart. Like, they're just like, yep, you guys are fine for right now. Oh, Gunnar Henderson.
And they just bust it open.
And they're just like,
bam, bam, bam. Yeah, I also watched that game last night.
Like, Teoscar looks like a beast, you know, like Shohei hits one out. And he, I mean, that wasn't even a quarter of a swing.
No.
What? Let's hold on. Let's talk about something in between. Why are pitchers still throwing middle on Shohei or even low middle? Like, I mean,
when throwing,
what is wrong with
Barry
you?
Bonds?
Yeah. Stop pitching it there. He'll stop hitting it into the.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on that whole avenue, I just happened to be looking through the highlights for the game that is actually on. And there's this little tidbit here about the highest on-base percentages for players at Fenway Park. And notice the three Hall of Famers right off the bat. And then Vlad Jr.
Yeah.
And it's because he did this again.
You go over the monster again?
No, not over the monster, but dead center.
No, dead center blooped it. I saw it. He dead center blooped it.
Drives in a run.
It was great. It was great.
If it ever loads, because apparently my Wi-Fi is not really fiber optic like everybody says it is in this neighborhood anymore.
You're getting,
so
you're getting shamed.
You look great though. So at least the camera is working.
Exactly, something's working.
Yeah, Vladdy can hit crazy. He loves hitting. I think loves hitting in Boston at Fenway. He seems to be good at it, and I appreciate that. But like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just so pleased with Vladdy and his performance as of late.
Again. I also think that based on what Vladdy's doing right now, I think that they're going to be able to etch a small culture change based on Vladdy's confidence and the way that he's going to finish out this season. There's no way, even if he cools off a little bit, he's still going to be red hot all the way through the end, as far as I can tell. So
I guess what does that look like tangibly?
I think what it does is it's sort of a lot of the guys that Vladdy's friends with, the guys that he considers to be peers, if they're available, I think they're thinking to themselves, I want to come where Vladdy is. I want to, you know, I want that love. I want that smoke. I want to be there. And I when this finally hits, I want to be there.
Yeah.
And it's funny that Bichette, like, we haven't really even talked about Bichette sort of saying now that he wants out. You know, I feel like it's the opposite, but you know, if you take Bo Bichette and you put him on the Phillies or even any of the contending teams, he's a totally different player. Where Vladdy, I feel like, is almost planetary at this point, where he's going to start to pull people in. And people we normally wouldn't get sort of any kind of run with. Like, I know that Ozuna, when he was, Randy Arozarena, when he was out fishing, the Jays were one of the teams he wanted to end up with because he wanted to play with Vladdy. And Vladdy wasn't even playing well. So if he can play well, I think you've got a lot of guys from the DR and places like that where Vladdy's played with, who are more, you know, they're more interested to come to play for the Jays. So
I hope that's true.
We already got our Scottie Pippen. Now you bring it.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And Michael Jordan or, you know, right? or LeBron James want, to be able to
get I want this thing. Soto to just shuffle on over. Just
could, yeah, it could happen.
Just ding the Yankees a little bit. That would be a fun one to watch for a change, because it's always the other direction, right? When you trade Roger Clemens or David Wells, you watch all of our talent go to New York. It's just how it is. But yep. To that point, let's go back to the no-hitter for just 1 second, as Bowden Francis is still throwing a gem at this point. That was the fifth near no-hitter in Toronto Blue Jays baseball history. Do you guys know the other four?
Oh, you know what? You know what really bothers me is I heard them talking
outside of Dave Steve.
And I didn't, I know, yeah. I heard them talking about it and I didn't make a mental note of it. Yeah. I mean, I could cheat and go gaggle it, but I feel like
I only know one of them because I was actually at the other one. Apparently, Tom Hankey, I am the jinx for the ninth inning.
Oh, Halladay?
Roy Halladay is one of them, and it was actually in his rookie season. So yep. You got one. There's one of the four.
That's it.
Juan Guzman.
Yes.
Would be a nice pick. Nice name drop, but no.
Do we already? And we Jerry already. Curl for days. We already out of Steve? No, Steve?
Yeah, it was Steve. Steve had one. Or yeah.
Well, he threw the no-hitter.
He had so. One, yeah.
Oh, but he did another one into the eighth.
Al Leiter?
There's only no, but I loved Al Leiter.
Pat Jimmy Henkin.
Him and Al. I want to say it might have been Pat Henkin was one of the other ones, but seeing you guys want to keep throwing names out there.
I'm going to try a recent one, Manoah. It seems like something he did and then couldn't.
I think he got in the seventh or sixth with one. I think you're not off with that one. But want me to tell you the one that
yes,
I
was just
the one, hardest go, one on go. The list. Dustin McGowan in 2007 against the Colorado Rockies, who went to the World Series that year. There's your obscure
I wouldn't one. Have got that. Nope.
Like I said, the only reason I get that one is because I was actually sitting in the nosebleed seats with my buddy that is a Colorado Rockies fan watching McGowan just mow through him.
I was on the other side of that one time. I saw Verlander do a no-hitter against the Jays in like 2018, I think. And it was the most boring game. It was 0-0 till like the ninth. It was the worst game I've ever seen.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Whenever I think of no hitters, this year we played against a very good team from Ladner. Wyatt, one of the kids from Ladner, was with us on our run to Winnipeg there, and he threw a no hitter against us and lost 2-0. How about that for a kick in the shins? So he pitched a complete game, and I mean, you're limited, you know, when you're playing in the league we're playing in. To the amount of pitches per game. So he threw less than 85 pitches in a 7-inning game and no hit us, and we won 2-0.
Yeah, people are that's a Maddox, man.
Yeah. Shout out Wyatt Spence. Hell of a
Wyatt
player.
Wyatt Spence, yep. Hero.
So you want to know the last one?
Sure.
Yes.
Brandon Morrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right on.
The game where he almost threw 20, was the 18 strikeout game. He,
Right.
He
was actually
that.
Pretty good
right
for
after
a while.
That,
wasn't
he had yeah, a,
he yeah. was.
When he was healthy, he was awesome. Yeah. He just couldn't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, I digress, because there's some other weird thing we got to talk about here in the midst of this show, too. We got that we're in Boston for a 5-game series, which is the first game, the awkward one. Danny Jansen makes Major League Baseball history as the first person to play for two teams in a Major League Baseball game.
I love this. I love this because there's so many things about baseball that are effortful.
Weird.
And not weird, but like effortful. It's like get a no hitter, you know, make a crazy catch, get three grand slams in a game or two grand slams in a game. But this one is just be in there. He just be in there.
Just showed up.
Yeah, just showed up.
Yeah. 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 There's another good trivia for you. Who's hit two grand slams in a game?
It's Tatis Sr.
There it is. Boom. Mic drop by Liz.
But I thought they should have, for just for shits, I thought they should have sent Danny out in his Jays uniform, like with a messed up number on it, and like, and then just take it off and you know, continue to go on as the Red Sox catcher. But I don't know if you guys saw that game or whatever, but it's very interesting to watch. To your point, Liz, you know, to watch to keep the integrity of the game, how hard they have to work just to sub in a player. So, you know, Dalton Varsho comes in as the catcher spot with one strike on him already, you know, and then promptly strikes out. But, you know, it was a very interesting, you know, and Davis Schneider has to go to one, that's where he was. And you know, it's like knocking the chessboard,
freaking Danny Jansen too.
It's like not playing chess and knocking the board over and then having to remember where you put all the pieces. Yep. But you know, it was fun to, you know, and nice to get a couple of wins at Fenway. Fenway hasn't been the most friendly this year, so nice to see a couple of dubs.
And they're up 1-0 so far on that Vladdy double that we were talking about a minute with a guy on second. But on that note, they have done pretty good this series, even except for last night watching Brian Bello mow through
our lineup. He just got through the ball. And like, they were just like that. And even
I gotta say that Bello guy has either been red hot or hot garbage this year. Like, there is no in between with that dude. And I guess
polar.
There's no middle ground, which you can't do that and expect to be in a pitcher in the MLB for very long. But you know, congratulations for the one there, Chris Beaulieu.
I don't know how much you guys have noticed on the actual game feed this evening, but there's a gentleman that literally looks like a Davis Schneider clone, last name Gasper, right now in the Red Sox lineup. I looked down a few minutes ago when they were hitting, and I'm like, he's got the wrong jersey on, guy. It was really weird, but same mustache, everything. It's like they're trying to steal our mojo, guys.
Maybe Davis Schneider could steal one of his bats and get a hit.
Yeah, or maybe they could rub mustaches together to transfer power. Yeah. That's how it works.
Is that like Wonder Twins powers activate?
If your mustaches get stuck together, that's something magic.
You fuse into one.
It's awful. Why are we how do we get off the rails?
Where did this tangent go from?
Yeah.
Oh God! There's our soundboard that we're missing right now. Change topic. So, Liz, I do want to give a chance to give you to talk about something else that we happened to do while I was in town, because I didn't even know about this. As a frequent visitor of Toronto, I'm up there many a time during the summer, and I didn't even know baseball was in this level in Toronto with the Toronto Maple Leafs Baseball Club, and you had the honor of throwing out the first pitch the other night.
So I live in the Ossington and Bloor area, the Bloor Court area of Toronto, and there's a team, they play in the Intercounty Baseball League. That's kind of southwestern Ontario. There's 9 teams that play in it. I've been a fan for a very long time, for the last like 12 years. You get to go, there's free admission. You sit on a hill. You can now buy beer in the park at Christie Pitts. They sell it. You can drink it on the hill. And you can shout. You can shout at your lovely intercounty baseball league team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, which I will also add that they have had the name longer than the hockey team. They are from, I think, the 1800s, and they were I don't know if they were like a farm team at one point, but there was like pretty big stadiums around Toronto. There's one on the island. Then they went into kind of a dormancy till the 60s, I think. And now they play in the Intercounty Baseball League. So I go there a lot. And at the time I was rocking my 2 black eyes, which again, I thought was going to go away in a week, but lasted for 2.5 months. I didn't know that. I'm not a fist fight person, but I went to a game and they caught me and they invited me to throw a first pitch. I said, absolutely. So I went, I gave them one of my baseball cards to like raffle off. I threw the first pitch. They gave me this cool ball and a team signed ball as well. And I knew like when you're standing on that mound, it's like 3 times as far as you think it's going to be, which was fine. Which is like, listen, we all know I can't catch a ball. Like, let's be honest here. We know that. And I also can't really throw one. Yeah, I do. I'm a Topps card. the most stupidest collectible of all time. But I can throw a ball okay, but like, no, how many, Jason, how many feet is it?
What, a major league pitching mound?
Yeah.
90.
90 feet. No, it turns out
67, I can't. 67, isn't it? 90 is the basis.
67. 90 is the basis, right?
67. So it turns out that I can't throw from 67. So I can throw a glaring ball from about 55. So I want to thank the Toronto Maple Leafs Baseball Club. I want to thank Rob Butler and his crew who owns the team for having me out. It was a really fun night. We had a good time. They let the adults run the bases, which we did. And
Liz and I did that.
They unfortunately got beat out. They got swept, I think, by who was it? Was it the Kitchener Panthers? I can't remember. Anyway, but now I'll be cheering for my second favorite team, the Guelph Royals, on Saturday, where I will get not so drunk. That is all. Anyway, thanks again to the Maple Leafs.
Don't you think?
Yeah, but yeah, there's a really nice culture of casual baseball in Toronto. Yeah.
As a baseball enthusiast that didn't know that was there, I am very happy, Liz, that you showed me that, because now that is something I will plan on doing whenever I'm in town hanging out with you, because that was just a fun time. Hang out with some good people, drink some beers, have some hot dogs and some sunflower seeds, and call it a day.
Yeah.
So, but on that note, if you're in the Toronto area, make sure you check it out, because that was a really good time, especially if you're like me, just on the outside looking in every once in a while. You got to stop by. So, on that note, we're near the end of the show. We got 71 people watching live now. How have I not heard from any of you yet? Come on, drop something into the chat. We would love to hear your thoughts, whether it's on, you know, Toronto Maple Leafs Baseball Club, Blue Jays, minor leagues with the Vancouver Canadians or the Buffalo Bisons. Please drop some questions into the chat and we'll chit-chat that out. Is there anything the two of you would like to get off your chest, Blue Jays baseball-wise, or just discuss in general?
No, I have one thing to get off my chest, and it will be on my chest until it happens, but why are you not signing my Vladdy? I would also say this guy, there was a trade, somebody gave him a Toronto Maple Leafs hockey hat, and he held it, essentially saying, like, here I am, sign me, like, I want to be here. Like, he's thirsty for that contract. Toronto Blue Jays, Rogers, where are you at?
I feel like I can go to the videotape on that one, because we retweeted that last night when I saw it.
Now, I got two things. First of all, if you put a Toronto Maple Leafs thing in the dugout, that's usually suicide for your career for your season. Just get that stuff out. Remember last year when Marner and Matthews and them hit, and it immediately tanked the Jays season. Anyways, I actually I feel like the Jays are priming themselves to sign Vladdy before the season ends. I feel like they're trying to make sure that his value is what it is, and that they make a good deal, because they know this year that going into next, they've got to have some cap space available, and they're not scared to go over the $200 million. I mean, you know, we've seen them technically they are right now. So, I mean, you know, I think what they're trying to do right now is I think they're trying to have some conversations with some players to try and say, hey, you know, if we commit to Vladdy long-term, you know, what are your thoughts on coming here? What are your thoughts on coming here? That kind of thing. So I really do feel strongly that they're going to get the deal done. I can't imagine that they will go into the offseason with it undone. We've seen sillier crap. We have seen sillier crap before, haven't we, Craig?
Just a little bit. There's no shenanigans here at all. And And exactly. And living is, like I said, I've lived and died the Jose Berríos train as a minute longer than most people, because he was a Rochester Red Wing here where I happen to live in the Minnesota Twins organization. But that's just how it is sometimes. You've got to ride the highs, the lows, everything. And right now, this Vlad Jr. that we're seeing, there's going to be a lot more highs than there are going to be lows for the very, very extended future here. And you just got to invest in this. If you're talking about... If you want to actually be a contender next year, that says a lot to coming in free agents if you have Vlad locked up.
Agreed. Period. I totally agree with that.
One of the best hitters in baseball.
I also there's been a lot of speaking about Bo Bichette. I kind of sent a tweet out where I kind of said, he's a fussy guy, but I don't think that should cloud how we view him in our organization for the long term, because he's young and he's had a bad season. And also, guys, he's an introvert.
Yeah, but I think I think you hit a certain point as a professional athlete where the term introvert doesn't then apply ever. You have to be able to come out. You have to be able to be a spokesman for the and I know, you know, I know that when you're 15 years old and you're smashing home runs or you're the best shortstop in the nation, I know that you're not thinking to yourself, I can't wait to do interviews, especially when we lose a big game and it's my fault. Like, I know you don't want to do that, but
that's when you just do the Ricky Bobby thing and you just go, the car wheel ran real well today. Went really well.
I think that, but you've got to be able to like, you look at a guy like Kiermaier, a guy like Springer. I mean, guys who've been in the league for a long time, even, you know, one of the teams that I've always, even though I don't like them, the team that I've always been fascinated at how well they handle themselves is the Astros. I mean, those guys have been punted around for years. Cheaters, this, that, all this other crap. And they always seem to be able to portray, a happy face and a excited to be there. And just, you know, it's being a consummate professional. And these guys' work ethic and all the rest of this stuff allows them to be the pros that they are. And so Bo just has to step up, whether he likes doing interviews or not. I mean, he's probably gone anyways in the offseason. Let's not split hairs. Yeah. But, you know, he can't go to a place like L.A. and wither off into, you know, he can't be a wallflower. He can't go to New York and be a wallflower.
No, and you even saw Teo. Like, Teo was like, I'm going to do the home run derby for this team. I'm going to do things to raise our profile. And he went and he did it. Like, you got to go out and hustle for your team. And it is true that I am disappointed that do something, you know, Bo, have some kind of charisma. Say anything instead of saying nothing. It is odd the way that he's just
healthy. Yeah, you would think that with his dad being a pro, his dad would have already said to him by now, you know what, Bo, you've got to start doing some more interviews and you've got to let people know about your personality and stuff like that. Because if not, you become forgettable. Like, where kids like you and all the rest of this stuff, if they don't see you, they don't know you. And so, you know, as much as he had when he was having his meteoric rise and hitting at the cover off the ball every time he was in the box, that can only take you so far. My kids and I were talking about it. We were driving along today, and one of my sons said to me, Dad, who's your favorite baseball player of all time? And I had to take a second, you know, and I was fairly quickly to answer sort of my top five. And he's like, you don't have one? And I'm like, no. I have about 30. And you know, as I started going through them, and I'll be honest with you guys, number one is Ken Griffey Jr. He is my favorite baseball player to have ever played. I think he did every single thing right. I've watched a lot of Ken Griffey Jr. I had nothing but time for the kid. Secondarily, because I was a third baseman, and really the only huge third baseman when I was a kid was Mike Schmidt. So those are my two guys, right? And you know, it's one of those things where my sons, they don't cheer for teams. They cheer for players.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any character, like, we talk about the Jays quite a bit, and the only players they talk about really are Vladdy, Davis Schneider, because he has character. He's got the stash. They were calling him Babe. All of this stuff going for. They loved Teoscar. They loved, you know, they loved Gurriel. Like, guys like that. They just personalities. Also,
let's talk about who is one of the most famous Jays of all time. A clue: he won a ring with the Cubs, and I think somewhere in Japan he also has a ring. Mr. Munenori Kawasaki. Like, because he
was a great baseball player.
No, not a great baseball player. But, like, he was super fun.
This interview of baseball, though.
They are entertainers. You know what I mean? They're athletes, but also entertainers.
But I mean, it's prevalent in a lot of sports, though. Like, Connor McDavid is a doorstop.
They're like, all hockey's like that.
No, it's not, though. It's getting better. Like, as much as I don't love Austin Matthews, Austin Matthews has personality, and he does great.
Figured it out, at least.
And whenever they've got him, you know, like, he has funny commercials, and then they've got Sid Crosby, and I think this has now become sort of a joke, the Nathan MacKinnon, Sid Crosby, that the two of them just are so deadpan that it actually makes the Tim Hortons commercials funny now.
Oh, it's great. It's pretty good.
It's quite funny. But, you know, like, basketball has some But I would say that right now, as it is, I mean, Major League Baseball is winning in the personality category. And there's guys everywhere. It's not just one or two.
Did you see Shohei Ohtani and his dog last night throw the first pitch? Cutest thing I've ever seen.
On his bobblehead with the dog night.
Can we talk about what the dog's name is? Decoy. Well,
yeah, it means
that means something that I'm not like.
No, it's a weird Japanese. It's the closest translation that to what the name actually is, but like it's not verbatim. It's just the closest thing they got. No.
Apparently, through a heater, they was a called strike for his first pitch.
Crazy how a dog can throw a baseball.
No.
Well, he's kind of like
you've seen Air Bud.
Air Bud, seventh inning fetch. Absolutely, my
that's
guy.
That's a documentary. That's, it's come on.
30 for 30. Was it? Yeah, 30 and 30.
Yeah,
about
it was.
That.
Truth. Yep. So I don't want to say it out loud, but somebody's made it through five innings again.
Really? Come on.
I'm not
kidding. Now I have to go upstairs and watch it right now. I'm supposed to go watch a baseball practice.
I'm supposed to, like, you know, end the show, and I'm afraid to jinx it.
I don't know, Jason.
No, don't worry about that stuff. No, that's not how it works.
I don't think so.
So, but anyway, anything else anybody would like to talk about?
No, I got nothing.
I do want to give a little shout out here to the fact that Addison Barger looks like he's made a turn and his bat.
He looks great right now.
Loudly, including a loud home run to walk it off, as you mentioned, for Liz eating nothing but crab's legs night.
Oh, lovely. It was lovely. I also wondered to myself, as he hit that walk-off home run, is his flow, in fact, better than Bo's?
Well, look, I'm on the Addison Barger train here.
I love how you almost had
now.
Like a nursery rhyme going on there for a second.
And
that
like,
sounded
we
very
got our,
musical.
It did. And now we got our own flow here. Look at that. That's like a at this point, it's very hockey flow. I can see, you know, you're transitioning to hockey. Love that.
There it is. But like I said, that was more your Addison Barger appreciation post. So anyways, we do have one more thing we have to do, and it's this whole... You know, picks the click thing. Which,
I was hot. I was hot at the start.
If you happen to be the person that picked Bowden Francis over the last week, that would have probably been one of the very few pitchers that would have ever won at this. Because you got to have almost two great starts to make up for an offensive good week. If you know you're trying to get over the cheat code that is Ladd Jr. You know what I mean? You know. So, anyways, last week I had Alejandro Kirk. Jason, you had George Springer. Liz, we had Ernie Clement for you. And Jordan Loperfido was the Joey Loperfido was the guest spot pick last week with Brian Crawford. That's a collective.
Springer was red hot out of the gate.
Yeah.
What do you have, three home runs?
I might have to go to the scoreboard on that one. Who's that?
Springer.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the stats for the
doing the Georgie
right now because I honestly can't remember.
Remember the guns? Somebody would get like a down base. You got to do the guns to get on base.
Now it looks like almost like they're like flashing each other. They kind of go like this.
Whatever.
That's what Addison Barger just did.
Spring break. Throw me some beads.
Let it rain. Let it rain.
I do like the Georgie though. That could stick. I mean. That's something that
is
if
fun.
They get the camera in there, it's fun. And they,
fun.
They laugh.
That's it. They laugh and they peer pressure others to do it. Love
I know.
That.
The Horowitz one was awesome because he was like, he like stutter stepped and he's like looking at the camera like, what are you doing? And then.
Yeah. And then I don't know who Vladdy is harassing somebody.
I stole one this week. So I'm looking at the stat lines for the the last 7 days. I just sorted it by hits, thinking that would probably be the easiest thing to do. Joey Loperfido had 5 hits, three doubles, and the home run that was the game tying home run for the Liz crab leg night. Yeah. So it's 3 RBIs. Kirky had 4 hits, 1 home run, 5 RBIs.
Jesus.
But he. You know, didn't score as many runs as Loperfido did. So there's a sneaky appreciation post for you. Kirky looking 2021 Kirky over the last few weeks.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Love that for him.
Springer had 3 hits. Ernie Clement only had 2, and he honestly had a really rough week. 5 strikeouts.
Yeah.
But roughness. I think I got to give that to Brian Crawford, our prospect guru from last week for the guest spot.
The silent killer. Get that guy a microphone killer next time.
Silent. So, but to that point, Liz, that puts us in last place, tied for 4 wins. The guest spot now has 5, and Jason is still in head with 7. But seeing, I'm going to be the nice person that I am. The guest spot not here this evening because we didn't get a pick to click out of Nick Goodwin.
So, oh, I should have asked him. I never even thought about it.
I didn't even think about it. So the Ernie Clement is going to be the guest spot pick. Liz, you are next.
I'm doing cheat code Vladdy because I want to win.
You want to just be able to say, I came into this show. You guys don't know shit. Yeah. And I was like, I'm
I took
here
over for Kenny who
yeah
dartboarded his way to a victory every week.
Kenny actually didn't have quite the cheat code that he had last year in this whole thing. Liz came
I think he took the name we talked about on the show the most and just repeated it. Yeah.
His one win before Liz took over was Vlad.
Yeah. That's it.
The other 3 wins have been all Liz.
Listen, I almost won a hockey pool just by picking who had the prettiest jersey, and like that's my vibe.
Would you go Seattle Kraken then or something?
No, it didn't happen yet, but it was just pretty, you know.
Kraken.
I'm not going to lie. I'm happy that the Mighty Ducks are back to looking like the Mighty Ducks in Anaheim. I like those jerseys.
Orange is better.
It's so good.
Yeah. So anyway, Jason, your pick, my friend.
All right. You know what? I'm gonna stick with the flow, and I'm going to go Addison Barger.
There you go. It's got a double already tonight, my friend.
There you go. I didn't know that since
the last time I looked down at the tablet, he's actually scored too. So that's even better. That's 2-0 Blue Jays. Cheating. And there's still something going well. So you might want to make sure you tune into your Blue Jays TVs for Bowden Francis's start here. Lone base runner so far has been a error.
Something going on.
Something's going on. So now I gotta pick somebody. I think I'm just gonna put my money where my mouth has been slamming him all year. He's like, I have not picked him. I'm gonna pick Dalton Barshow.
Uh-oh.
Who's had a pretty sneaky week.
Way to go.
Simple. Did you guys know that he had like the quietest 22 game on base streak that I've never heard of?
Nuts. Yeah, nuts. They mentioned it the other night and I was like, what? Like, I didn't even know he was in the game.
No.
Exactly. And then he had a 7 game hitting streak too. He's actually back above the 200 line for a change, you know?
I think it's just because
Dalton Barshow.
We just didn't believe in him. That was it. We just didn't care.
Just ignored
it.
We didn't
believe in him. And I'm good with that.
Yeah, I believe. I'm gonna hope that he takes me to the promised land so I can, you know, not have to explain to everybody why Liz was here like a quarter of the season and beat us.
Because she kept picking Vladdy. She just kept picking the best player on the team. Guys, you just gotta do that.
That will do it.
Yeah.
The funny thing is the weeks you've won, Liz, you've won with Spencer Horowitz and Vladdy and Springer.
There you go.
All right, let's go.
So going for Vladdy number 2 here. So anything else?
Big thanks to Nick Goodwin from the Vancouver Canadians. Great interview. Check us out on our socials to get the whole thing. It's a good listen the whole way through. Hoping to get a few more Canadians before the end of the season. Nick, if you're listening or if your parents are listening, ace is thumbs guy. Great guy.
Awesome. Yeah. Geddy Lee, if you're also listening, Geddy Lee, come on our podcast, please.
Like Geddy Lee from
We'd love
Rush.
To talk to him.
Yeah, get me. Yeah, get. I want Geddy Lee on the podcast.
Really?
I want that. Yeah.
How wouldn't you want that? I love Rush.
Well, working man.
That's why the airport and that's why the airport code is YYZ, right? Yep. For Toronto.
Yeah, but he's one of the biggest collectors in baseball. Like he did a really good.
I watched it the other night.
The podcast with
so him. Do you know what the whole story is? So it's Eddie Vedder.
Yep.
Geddy Lee. There's like 5 of them that have these like crazy insane collections. I think Bruce Springsteen is one of them. Yep. And they just collect baseball stuff. Eddie Vedder's got exactly the same thing that Geddy Lee does.
He collected something really weird too. He actually collects game worn like batting helmets, skull caps. Right? Better.
Yeah, skull caps though, no weird.
Skull cap ones.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sick. Yeah, that's so sick. Geddy Lee.
So Geddy Lee. Anyway, thank you very much, Blue Jays fans. Obviously, big shout out to Nick Goodwin, and hope you're having a great evening at the ballpark this evening so that you're taking the Canadians to the promised land and back-to-back championships for the Northwest League. We give you guys all the best of wishes and all that good stuff from us. If you've been listening, the 72 of you, please make sure you hit those comment buttons wherever you're at. We will see it live. We are here to have a chat with you. Make sure you join us in that conversation. Me, Liz, and Jason will make sure we chit-chat on those exact items that you have on your mind. If you all could do me a favor, if you happen to be listening, make sure you hit the subscribe buttons. We don't say that very often on this show. We're trying to get to more people and trying to grow the brand here a little bit so we can be the People's Blue Jays podcast is my current vision of what we could be doing with this whole thing. I'm not trying to rip off Dwayne The Rock Johnson completely, but just in the right amount of fashion there. So
we could also give them subscribes, the People's Elbow. If they also want the People's Elbow, I offer that to them.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But on that note, make sure you get those likes and everything into us. We would greatly appreciate it so we can reach more Blue Jays fans. And if you could do the kindest of going over to TikTok and hit subscribe, we're giving away a prize every beginning of the month on the Monday night pack rips for baseball cards. It's going to be that Monday coming up. Just saying, so you might want to get your butt over there and get that subscribe in so you can see our latest winner on the Jaybird Watching podcast for getting sent some baseball cards or whatever it might be that happens to be our grand prize. I promise I won't get in trouble sending you baseball cards like I did outside the Dodger Center the other night. Just saying. Liz, back me up. We're all good. So on that note, Blue Jays fans, thank you very much again, and I hope you have a great evening. And as always, let's go Blue Jays.
Thank you for listening to the Jaybird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdWatchingGC. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.